Hi everyone, today I want to talk to you about rabbis and emotional intelligence. Should the two go together? Spoiler, they do, but we're going to explain just how necessary this is. So this week, outside of Eretz Israel, outside of the land of Israel, the Jews all over the world, they read the weekly portion called Chukat. And in the weekly portion of Chukat, we bid farewell to two of the three shepherds that have taken us out of Egypt and have led us through the wilderness, Miriam and Aaron. And their departure really raises the question of what exactly is the purpose of each of the three figures, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, in this trio of shepherds that have taken us out of Egypt through the Exodus and really are needed in each and every generation. Every generation, we find ourselves in a certain Egypt, in a certain Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means the straits or constraints. And we need to come out of these. And we need leaders, rabbis, teachers to take us out of our particular Egypt of this generation. And so we need each generation a Moses, an Aaron, and a Miriam. And basically every teacher and every leader needs to have all three within them. So we need to figure out what exactly they stand for. Now this whole idea that we need three shepherds to take us out of Egypt is an interesting thing in and of itself. It doesn't take one. It's not one person. It's not one property or quality. You need three, and three create a kind of balance. You know, you need three legs for a chair to stand on. And if it's only one or two, it doesn't work, unless that those legs are sort of distributed and they have a wide basis in some way, which is basically like having three legs. So you need three legs to create stability. Now, the order and their particular characters are also very interesting. So the first one, the eldest, is Miriam, the woman. She's the firstborn. She's the older sister. She's the oldest sibling. She takes care of everyone else. So she's number one. Then comes Aaron. Aaron is sort of the in-between, the sandwich kid. We all know this from families. He's sort of in between, trying to find his place between the eldest and the youngest. And then comes Moses, the little baby. Everyone loves him. Everyone takes care of him. And when they're born, it's very clear that Miriam is the eldest and Moses is the baby. And Aaron is actually not to be found in the beginning of the story. In the beginning of the story, it's Miriam taking care of Moses. She is running alongside the Nile River, making sure he arrives in a safe place, and then making sure that he has a midwife to feed him, which is basically his own mother. That's what she suggests to the daughter of Pharaoh, that his own mother will breastfeed him. So we have the sister, the older sister taking care of the baby, and then Aaron is basically nowhere to be seen because he's not the main thing over there. As the story progresses, it all flips around. Moses, the youngest baby, becomes the greatest leader, the greatest prophet of all time. He is the one to lead the people out of Egypt. Aaron, still the in-betweener, becomes his kind of second in command, his helper. He's there confronting Pharaoh. He's speaking for him, is doing some of the plagues. And Miriam basically recedes to the background. She has a role in leading the women through the splitting of the Red Sea with the drums and tambourines, and she's called a prophetess when she does that, but she doesn't have much of a story. She sort of recedes into the background. Now all this will be flipped around again, but we just want to sort of map this out. Now what are their different roles? So we can say that Moses is the rabbi. Moses is in charge of bringing down the Torah and teaching, and basically is in charge of the eternal, transcendent truth. That's his role. His role is to bring down a transcendent, eternal truth, unchanging, that is not compromised with reality, and sort of bring this down. That's why he goes up to Mount Sinai, he brings down this Torah, and that's his role, is throughout the wilderness to be the representative of this kind of eternal, unchanging, transcendent, absolute, objective Torah. Aaron is what we call in Hasidut a mashpia. A mashpia is like someone who accompanies you on your spiritual journey. He helps you. He gives you advice. Aaron is basically the type of guy, because he's the in-betweener, his purpose, his job is to make peace between everyone. He wants to make peace between the people and God by being in charge of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is all about the bringing the sacrifices, serving God. So God needs to receive sacrifices, and we need to appease him if we made mistakes. And it's all about creating peace between mankind, or the Jewish people, and God. He's also making peace between men and women, and between friends. That's his traditional role in Judaism. Ohev shalom verodef shalom. He loves peace, he chases peace, and he makes peace between Adam lechavero, a man and his friend, and ish liishto, a wife and a husband. So he's the sort of spiritual guide or spiritual friend that accompanies you and helps you along the way and makes sure everyone is together. That the Torah, this Torah that is coming down from heaven, will reach us and connect with us and will meet us where we are. Then, if so, then what is Miriam all about? Well, Miriam is what we can call the expert in emotional intelligence. Miriam is the one in charge of listening to the people and kind of echoing and mirroring. It's interesting that the English word mirror, also in Hebrew, mar'ah, is close to Miriam. Miriam is all about mirroring the hardships and the difficulties and the pains and the hurts of the Jewish people. Her name, Miriam, comes from the word bitterness. She was named after the bitter bondage in Egypt, the slavery. And so she kind of feels this bitterness, this hardship, and she knows how to echo it, to say, you're right, it is bitter, it is hard, it is really bad. And it's not bringing down this absolute truth. It's not mediating between this absolute truth and your own subjective reality. Is only being with your subjective reality and just being there and helping you come out of that. According to the tradition, Miriam is Pua. There were two maid wives who were very important in the delivery, in two meanings, the delivery of the Jewish people out of Egypt. They actually helped deliver all the babies and also hide them and make sure that the Pharaoh doesn't kill them. And the entire Exodus is likened to a kind of delivery, as in birth delivery, out of the womb of Egypt. And they were called Shifra and Pua. And it is said in our tradition that Shifra was really Yocheved, the mother of Moses, and Pua was really Miriam, the sister of Moses. And the purpose, the role of Pua was to appease the baby. That's what it says. Shepua umefayeset et havalad. Her name suggested that she whispered and sang to the baby and make sure the baby is calm. Why? Because she could feel the baby's pain and she could mirror it and she could affirm it. And then she could be there with this child and sort of nurse him into stability and into coming to terms with this reality. And the same goes for the Jewish people. They came out of Egypt and the Egyptians were behind them, but the bitterness remained. And Miriam was there all along speaking to them. And we see this very, very clear that this was her role in this parsha, in the parsha of Chukat. What happens in the parsha of Chukat is that after this reversal of roles in which the youngest boy, Moses, became the greatest leader, and then the oldest girl, Miriam, became this kind of in the background woman that we don't really know what her role is. This whole thing is reversed again. First, we see that they die by their natural order, which is a kind of reminder of their ages. Miriam dies first, then Aaron dies, and later on Moses will also die. But the most important thing is that what happens after Miriam dies. After Miriam dies, suddenly it says the very next verse that the Israelites had no water. Their water disappeared. This was the foundation for the idea that the rock out of which the water came, that was introduced at the very beginning of the 40 years in the wilderness. The Jewish people had this rock, and Moses hit the rock with his staff, and water came out. All this was by virtue of Miriam. It was through her. It was her miracle. Moses' miracle was the manna bread coming from the sky. Again, this image of something coming from heaven. And Aaron's miracle was the kind of protective clouds that were around the Israelites, and the gift, the miracle of Miriam, was this well, which was a miraculous well which moved from one place to the other, this rock that sort of rolled from place to place, and each time the water came out of this. Now what happens after she dies is that the water stops. Now this image of a rock, that water comes out of it, is really the image of a heart. We have a heart of stone, which we need to turn into a heart of flesh. The heart of stone that is able to produce water is like the heart opening up and the emotional water coming out of it, the water of empathy, the water of feeling, the water of emotions. And she was able to bring this out of the Jewish people. When she passed away, the rock could no longer produce water. And then we have a very, very powerful image of, we have two shepherds left, and they're the two men. It's Moses and Aaron, and they don't know what to do. They can't bring the water back out again. It's not their miracle. It's not their expertise. And when they do finally find the rock, what happens is that God tells Moses, speak to the rock. 40 years ago, you needed to hit the rock, but now you need to speak to the rock. Moses is unable to do this. He doesn't know how to do this. He again hits the rock with the staff, and only then, and the water does come out, because that's how it works, but it wasn't what God asked him to do. God asked him to speak to the rock and not hit the rock. And the implication of this is that both Moses and Aaron are punished by not entering the promised land. They are sort of doomed to die in the desert with the rest of their generation, which wasn't supposed to happen. Now, what does this mean? That in the beginning of the 40 years in the wilderness, it was okay to hit the rock, but then 40 years later, it becomes wrong. It becomes something bad to do, and you need to speak to the rock. This really is an image of two generations. There's one older generation that was basically okay with being rebuked. You could come to this generation with a more masculine Moses / Aaron approach of telling them what the truth is and then making sure they get it, and you sort of hit them with the staff and you sort of tell them what it is, what they should do, what they need to do, and it works. But then there's another generation, a generation born in the desert. It's a new generation, it's a new language, it's a new atmosphere, and we're constantly in this intergenerational sort of gap and transition. It's happening right now. This is a new generation that it doesn't work, this kind of classical sort of top-down education in which you rebuke the child, you tell the child what they should do, what they need to do. It doesn't work. What do you need? You need emotional intelligence. You need to speak to the rock, to speak to the heart of stone, and gradually open it up until it spontaneously and in a kind of authentic way, the water comes out, not because it was told, but because you gained their trust and you found a language that sort of infiltrates and penetrates this kind of rocky external facade that they have. Miriam was an expert in this. This is what they knew, what she knew how to do. She was able to speak to the rock. She was the person in charge of walking with the people, being with them where they were, with their pains, with their bitterness, and was able to have them produce this kind of emotions and this kind of emotional connection to themselves and to Hashem in the way we see that her brothers were not able to do. So basically, this is the ultimate reversal. We see that ultimately, it's no coincidence Miriam was the eldest. This element of emotional intelligence, of emotional communication, is in a very deep sense higher and more important than this absolute truth that Moses represents and the kind of mediation, spiritual mediation, that Aaron represents. Basically, ultimately, we need all three. And in our generation, all rabbis need to have both a Moses within them that teaches the Torah as it is, and Aaron within them that is able to sort of fill in the spiritual gap of what it means to serve God, not just following this absolute truth, but what it means spiritually for me. And each rabbi needs also an inner Miriam to speak the language of emotions, the language of emotional intelligence, emotional communication. I really hope you liked this video. If you did, please leave a comment. I'd love to hear what you say about this. And of course, like the video, subscribe to the channel, share it with your friends, and I'll see you in the next video. This video was made possible through the kind support of my sponsors over at Patreon. Patreon is a great way to help independent creators like myself produce original content. If you'd like to get more English language videos from me, please consider becoming a supporter via Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Thank you very much.